It's 6:30. If you could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sounds really nice when we have a room full of people for that. Happen more often. All right, we will call the meeting to order. Trustee Harris.
Present.
Use your microphone, please, Trustee.
Present.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
Trustee Van Noven is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Gast is excused. Trustee Dennis.
Here.
I have two suggested modifications to the agenda. It's to move items 7 through 10 to 3C. And to move item 21 to 10B. Are there any other suggested modifications to the agenda? Is there anyone here visiting who'd like to see an agenda moved up or down in the list? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Genrich, is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Harris, seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a few presentations to give, first of all, tonight for our newly elected trustees. First is Jim Rafter, and I'd like to read the certificate of election. I, Deborah M. Bainan, clerk treasurer of the Village of Alloway, of the state of Wisconsin, certify that Jim Rafter, as appears from the official canvas of the votes cast at a spring election held in the Village of Alloway, Wisconsin, on April 1, 2014, was duly elected village trustee to hold office for a three-year term, commencing on April 15, 2014, and ending on April 17, 2017, in testimony whereof, Debbie M. Bainan. Matthew Harris, I, Deborah M. Bainan, clerk treasurer of the Village of Alloy, the state of Wisconsin, certify that Matthew Harris, as appears from the official canvas of votes cast in the spring election held in the Village of Alloy, Wisconsin, on April 1, 2014, was duly elected for village trustee to hold office for a three-year term commencing on April 15, 2014, and ending on April 17, 2017. And by the way, Trustee Rafter received 1,018 votes, and Trustee Harris received 917 votes. Who received 858 votes. I, Deborah M. Bainan, clerk treasurer of the Village of Alloway, of the state of Wisconsin, certify that Bob Dennis, as appears from the official canvas of the votes cast at the spring election held in the Village of Alloway, Wisconsin, on April 1, 2014, was duly elected village trustee to hold an office for a three-year term commencing on April 15, 2014, and ending on April 17, 2017. Welcome to all of you. This is not uncommon. We usually have crowd at least this size at our village rotary. Okay, item 3B. Not only a welcome to the new trustees, but a thank you for throwing your names in the hats and serving the public in this capacity. 3B, we're going to have a presentation on the Webster School Area Improvements based on the Safe Routes to School plan. We have Cole Runge here from the Brown County Planning Commission. And we will take public comments right after the presentation instead of waiting for public appearances.
Face everyone. Well, first of all, thank you for having me tonight. I was asked here to talk about the Village's Safe Routes to School plan because I was the one who helped coordinate it back in 2011 and beginning of 2012 in conjunction with the task force, but I'll talk about it in a second.
Steve, you've got it.
Oh, perfect.
Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. My presentation will be brief, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions you have or address any comments. Okay. Between roughly January of 2011 and February 2012, the Planning Commission worked with the Village and specifically the task force, which again I'll talk about in a second, to put together a Safe Routes to School plan, which was combined with a bicycle pedestrian plan for the entire Village. But tonight what I want to do is just focus on the Safe Routes to School plan. And I'll start with the plan's purpose, which is basically to get kids who live within 2 miles of their schools, specifically kids between kindergarten and eighth grade, to be able to walk and bike to and from school, to encourage them to pursue an active, healthy, and independent lifestyle. As I mentioned, the service effort began in January 2011, and we addressed all 5 elementary-level schools throughout the Village, which are Webster, Doty, Langlade, Resurrection, and St. Matthew. At the beginning of the process, the Village Board created a task force, which was comprised of, you can see up here, each school's principal was involved. We had Alloway residents, we had Alloway board members and Village staff, and we also had representatives from the Center for Childhood Safety and the Brown County Health Department. And again, they worked in conjunction with Brown County Planning Commission staff to put the plan together. Now, during the period, the task force met 7 times and addressed a variety of issues during those meetings. Some of the things the task force addressed include the background data, which I'll get into a little bit more in a second. It developed goals and objectives for the plan. It put together student and parent surveys, which were very helpful during that process. They helped put together and then conducted walking and biking audits at each of the school. They also took a look at the draft chapters of the plan as they were being finished, and then they authorized the Plan Commission to take a look at the full draft once that was finished. So the Plan Commission took a look at that and approved it on January 23rd of 2012, and the Village Board finally approved it on February 7th of that year. Now, as part of the background data collection phase, we did a student location inventory to get an idea of how many kids live within walking and biking distance of their schools. Now, this is kind of washed out. I'll show you another map a little bit closer of Webster in a second. But when we did this inventory, what we found, among other things, is that the vast majority of kids at all these schools live within 2 miles of their schools. And in fact, we found that many of these kids actually live within a mile or less of their schools. But when we finished the surveys and the audits, we also found that most kids at that time did not walk or bike to school, even though they were very close to their schools. Now, you can see here with Webster, it might be difficult to see here, but this light ring here represents a 1 mile radius around Webster School. And you can see all these dots in here, which represent the addresses of kids. And like I mentioned, you can see that many kids live within walking and biking distance of Webster School. But what we found when the audit was conducted, a team of people from the task force did that. The audit was conducted on a clear, mild day in May of 2011, so ideal conditions for walking and biking. And what they found was that they only saw 2 bicyclists going to school that day, and they saw no kids walking to school that day, even though the weather conditions were ideal for that sort of activity. When school began and they took a look at the bike rack outside the school, they found a total of 4 bikes. So that was quite surprising. And when the survey results were in two, the survey results supported the audit findings that many kids who could walk and bike to school currently didn't. Now, when we took a look at the Webster parent surveys, when they were collected, we found that we received 92 from the parents, and the vast majority of those responses were from parents of pretty young kids, basically kids who were in 4K through second grade, so the parents of the youngest kids in the school. And what we found was that of the 92 parents who responded, 41 mentioned that their kids at some point over the last year had asked if they could walk or bike to school, even though none of them at that point were walking or biking. We also found that 32, roughly a third of the people who responded, said they'd love their kids walking bike to school if there were just more sidewalks present around the school, because they didn't think it was safe enough without those sidewalks present. So, after we collected all the information that I mentioned here and some other information as well and analyzed it as a task force, we came up with a set of recommendations for the area around Webster School. Now, it's kind of difficult to see from this distance, but basically what these black lines represent are new sidewalks around the campus. So they recommended several sidewalks around the campus. They recommended 2 additional crossing guards at intersections along Libel Street, and the addition of bump outs at one intersection, if those could actually be put in. There was going to be an engineering study to determine if that could occur. So, at the end of the planning process, the task force identified several benefits associated with these recommendations. Among them, if you improve safety along the streets in the form of sidewalks and at intersections, there's a very good chance that many, many more kids will walk and bike to school based on what we found out during the data collection phase. Obviously, this is good for kids in terms of health, fostering a sense of independence, etc., but it also reduces the volume of traffic at and near the school, which has been a problem for quite some time. Another benefit is that, I'll go back to the map real quick, is if you're familiar with that area around Webster, you'll know that before and after school, especially after school, there's a lot of traffic congestion on Woodrow and the other streets on the north side of the school. But if you were to put sidewalks on the south side, you would create another place for parents who still wanted to or had to drive their kids to school to pick up and drop off their kids. So you could kind of spread this traffic area out a little bit so it's not just focused up on the north side. You could actually have a viable pickup drop-off point on the south side of the school as well. And a third major benefit really isn't necessarily safe routes to school oriented, but the grant that the village is seeking right now would cover 80% of the cost of these improvements, which is not just a benefit for the kids, but it would be a benefit for all Alloway residents throughout the entire year when they were put in. So that's my brief presentation. If anybody has any questions or comments, I would be happy to address them.
Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules and open up to our visitors. Yes, sir.
I have a question. You said that of the parents that were interviewed, 30% said that they would let their children walk and or bike to school.
Right. There were 92 respondents, and roughly a third of those said they would let their kids walk and bike to school if more sidewalks were present.
So 2/3 said no. They didn't care one way or the other. And I have a printout from Mike Nelson, or Mike List, I apologize. And you're saying that because of the increase in the population of the village and the increase in the population of the student body is higher, and according to Mr. List, I don't know because they didn't do any of the foundational work, says the enrollment at Webster School was peaked in at 380 in 2008-2009 has steadily declined since and was at 345 in 2013 and 2014. So we're having a reduction there, and it says that the overall village population has declined from a peak of, in 2008 at 15,470 to 13,932 currently, excludes the correctional facility. So something's wrong there. You know, if you're saying the population of the village has increased, and his research is saying it's decreased, and if the school population has, in New York, plan has increased, and he's saying it's decreasing, somebody is not correct. Who is that?
Here's the Fred Phelps right here.
And I have, I live on Ridge Brookridge. And I do see the children, and I do see the traffic every day up at the west end of Brookridge there on the curb. I know exactly what you're talking about there. We don't have that many children walking and or biking on the street. Another thought that crossed my mind, even if, and if the 70% or two-thirds of the parents are not necessarily saying they'd have their kids bike in or walk, is it because of the society that we live in that they're just afraid, even if you have sidewalks on it, that some predator isn't going to come along and snatch them off anyway, so they don't want them walking in or biking? Those are my questions for the moment.
Thank you, sir. Could you state your name and address for the record, please? And I've asked that anyone else.
331 Brookridge Street.
I'm sorry, your name?
Bill Gagnon.
Okay.
G-A-G-N-O-N.
I'd ask if anyone would like to speak, could please come up to the microphone. We need to get you on recording for the public record. Yes, sir. Can you please state your name and address as well?
My name is Mike List. I live at 232 East St. Joseph Street. I do have the printouts here for the last 10 years for Alloway and Webster, and they have declined. They did take the inmates off Alloway. But 2011, it was 13,966. 2012, it was 13,959. And 2013, it's 13,932. So it is steadily going down. Webster School, the past 10 years, 2003, there was 377. 2004, 351. It peaked in 2008, or 2009, at 380. It went down to 363, 360, 339, and this year there are it's back up to 370, but we're still 10 below the peak in 2008. I've lived on my street for 22 years now. Let me get to my notes here. There's been no accidents. From the last meeting we had, there have been no accidents in the history of Alloway school system involving kids. I am a part-time crossing guard, and the most you ever cross is maybe 4 to 6 kids, which is mostly down by the Y on Broadview down there. Libel Street, the times I've done that, there have been 4 kids. Some of the other corners, 2 or 3. I did my own little survey the last 2 weeks on St. Joseph Street across from my house. April 2nd, there were 2 kids that walked after school. April 3rd, 4 kids. April 5th, or April 4th, no kids. April 7th, 2 kids. April 8th, 2 kids. April 9th, no kids. April 10th, 2 kids. April 11th, 3 kids. April 14th, 2 kids. And today, no kids. People just nowadays feel safer transporting their kids to school. It's the times. It's not the 1950s. It's not the 1970s. I lived in a country. I walked a couple miles to school. Nowadays, parents just feel safer transporting their kids to school. Adding a sidewalk on the south side of St. Joseph's is not going to encourage kids to take their bikes or walk to school. It's just not going to. I have a grandson at Webster School. I walk up there every day. I take Schrader, walk through the park. That's where most of the people walk. They walk the whole parking lot of Webster Park down to the little pathway, the memory court. That's where people go. That's about all I have to say. I just don't think adding a sidewalk and tearing up all these lawns is going to encourage any more kids to walk or ride a bike to school. That's how it is nowadays. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Sir,
Hi, my name is Corey Kemling, and I live on 1483 Boyd Street, and I have a four-year-old daughter that attends Webster Elementary in 4K. Just as a response to what he was saying, the reason I don't let my daughter walk to school is because, one, I would have to walk with her, and I would make sure that she's safe. However, once we get to a certain point, there are no sidewalks. I have to try to control her then to make sure kids kind of run around. They don't always stay right by your side. And if there's a sidewalk for them to be on, they know that's the section that they have to be on. The whole point that the kids aren't walking anymore because the parents are scared that someone's going to take them, well, yeah, that's true. But in the same token, you have to look at it that parents are afraid their kids are going to be walking on the street and getting hit by a car. There are drunk drivers that drive around. They could go up even on the curb, I guess, if you wanted to with the sidewalks. But my whole point is...
I'm sorry, I'd use your last name, but I didn't...
That's okay.
Could you address the board, please?
I'm sorry. I was just responding to that.
I understand.
Apologize.
That's okay. You can definitely respond to something that someone said, but you need to sort of direct
okay.
the comment.
I apologize. This is my first time.
That's all right. You're doing
whole thing here, so I apologize. But I guess... I think the thing that people are forgetting is that the whole point of this is to have safer routes for kids. It's not about tearing up somebody's lawn. That's not the goal of this, and to depreciate any value to their home. The whole point of this is to make sure that our kids, who are what we should be looking out for, I know that he's mentioned that he had grandkids, maybe he wouldn't have to walk his grandkid to the school anymore if there were sidewalks for them to walk on. He wouldn't have to do that. The whole point, I know that there's a lot of folks that complain about the traffic on the streets. He mentioned that the congestion's going to be less. I could take in, next year when my daughter's in kindergarten, I could drop her off on the corner of one of the streets and let her walk up, I mean, it's, to me, I feel safe in Alloway. I don't feel like somebody's going to just come and, snatch my daughter away just because she's walking to school. Obviously I wouldn't let a kindergartner walk by themselves, but I mean, I would allow two or three kids to go with them and be able to take that. Parents could carpool their kids and be able to just drop them off there instead of having to go. The other day, now that the snow has melted, even when the snow hasn't melted, I forget the name of the street, but it's the street that goes right up to the circle by Webster. When there's cars parked, when you're coming away from the school, on the right-hand side there, and there's cars leaving and cars coming, there's absolutely no room for kids to walk. And there was a kid walking the other day, and I was scared. I'm like, oh, my God, that kid's right there on the curb trying to stay away from these cars because they're afraid to get hit. I just feel like, from what I'm hearing, is that we're worried about that the population isn't increasing and the population's actually decreasing, so that's a reason that we shouldn't do this because the population isn't a factor in whether or not our kids are going to be safe. But I guess I apologize. I'm just kind of frustrated that. My daughter's going to be going to the school for the next 5 years, and I want her to be safe when she's around that school. When these kids go to field trips and they walk down to the gas station, or they walk down to Strader's Flowers, would you prefer to have them walking on the side streets where there's sidewalks that they can get there safely and back? Or do you want them walking on Webster Avenue on the sidewalks there where it's busy traffic? Kids sit and push each other back and forth. And if they're walking down the sidewalk on Webster and they get pushed into the street, what's going to happen then? So I guess that's just kind of what I have to say at this point. I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
Notes on my phone.
Right.
Good evening. My name is Daniel Janowski. I live at 159 Brookridge Street. I noticed several flaws in the study methodology to begin with. Are 92 parents statistically representative of all of the parents involved in the radius that the project proposes to encompass?
At the time, it was roughly a quarter of the households at Webster.
And is that a statistically balanced sample of all of the households?
Well, that wasn't the intention. The idea was to get an idea of how parents who chose to respond to the survey would feel about letting their kids walk and bike to school if facilities were present and conditions were improved. So these were the parents who either chose to answer the survey, or more than likely, since I've had kids in third, fourth, and fifth grade, it's very possible that the surveys that were given to the kids to take home didn't make it. And that's one of the reasons I suspect that so many younger kids were represented in this, because they were given something and they took it home.
So this information is based, to use your words, on a feeling, not on actual math. It was done in May, which is, yes, much nicer part of the school year to walk to school. Was there a reciprocal study also done at any point when the temperature was below freezing?
No. It was done when it was nice out. To assume, we were trying to determine if, on the nicest weather days, if kids would walk and bike. Again, what we found was virtually no kids walked or biked on that day, which told us that even when the weather is ideal, kids still, at this point, won't walk or bike. And again, the other information we collected throughout the process helped us put together the fact that that had a lot to do with the lack of sidewalks, the lack of safe crossings, and the perception, really, not necessarily that the kids were in danger just by being outside, but in many more cases, what we found from the comments from the surveys, the parents were much more concerned about traffic, and they didn't want their kids out in traffic. So again, that's one of the reasons why during the whole process, we found when we talked to people, we did the survey, and we did the audits and everything else throughout that year period, that the parents were much more concerned about the traffic issues, and they were much more willing to allow their kids to walk and bike if some of those issues could be resolved through the addition of sidewalks, crossing guards, and stuff like that.
By way of background, I work in industrial and organizational psychology, and what you just described is the difference between normative behavior, which is the behavior that one would assume you should do given a certain set of conditions, and descriptive behavior, which is what people actually do given a certain set of descriptions. So even during the best weather time of the year, you have very few kids walking to school. No data was collected during the period when kids would be, or anybody would be, least likely to walk to school, and that is when the temperature is below freezing. Most of the parents were parents of second graders. Do you know how fast a second grader walks? Was any of that data collected?
Most of the parents were parents of 4K and kindergarten kids.
Okay.
But there were some, many more in first and second grade. The point being that when we talk about just under half of the parents who did respond, we're willing to, a third of the parents who responded, were willing to allow their kids who currently didn't walk or bike to walk or bike if the sidewalks were present.
Okay. 1 to 2 miles. The average speed of a 7-year-old is less than 2 miles an hour. So if you add the weight of a backpack and various sundry other items, lunches and so forth, they're actually now walking less than 2 miles an hour, going 1 to 2 miles, given your data. So it's going to take them somewhere over an hour plus to get to school if they walk. I would ask any of the board how far away you parked this evening to get to this meeting. My guess is it was the closest reasonable spot you could find. Now, that comes because your time is valuable. The parents that drop off the children at the school also value their time more than they value, at the point, their the health, I guess, to use your words, of their children. They are in a hurry. They need to get somewhere, and they're not concerned about whether their kids are going to be healthier if they chose to actually walk over an hour with weight on their back to get to school. So there's a number of kind of fundamental issues just with the data collected. Wasn't done in a responsible scientific manner. It wasn't done at a time when kids were least likely to walk to school, and you actually found the opposite. On a beautiful day, nobody walked. At the top of Brookridge Street, which is where we live, there is quite a bit of congestion. It's actually disproportionately more congested at the top of the street, precisely because it is closer to the school. So parents wait as close to the school as possible. They're in a car. They don't walk. They choose to drive as close to the school as possible to pick up and drop off their children. So the basis for most of the information that you have collected is actually really completely false. It doesn't describe what people actually
I'm going to have to ask you to wrap it up. I think we have lots of people who want to speak on this issue.
That's fine. Let me talk.
Excuse me. We have a lot of people that want to talk on this issue, and I
thank
think
you.
Your
thank
point's
you
been well
much,
taken. Do you have extra points that you want to make?
Well, I don't think that the basis for the project was done in any manner that could support the actual completion of the project. There's really no data to support it at all.
Thank you.
Good job, Ben. Good job.
Again, I get the feeling that there are quite a few people who would like to speak on this issue. I'm going to take up the rules for a second. What I'd like to do is shift the agenda a little bit. We have on the agenda resolutions to thank the outgoing trustees. I know that all the outgoing trustees are here right now. Is that right? No?
Yeah.
Are they all here?
Yeah, they are. They're in the back.
Okay. And I know there are visitors here that have come just to make sure that we send them off. So what I'd like to do is skip to that agenda item. And table this for just a moment, and then...
It's okay to continue.
Okay. Never mind. I hope those of you who are here to just see them off, I hope it's okay with you as well. So, yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Sandy Juno. I live at 616 Dauphin Street. My granddaughter goes to Webster School. And I'm one of those grandmothers that drive their kid to school or grandkid to school every day. And she begs me to allow her to walk or take her bike to school. But I am not feeling very comfortable about her not going to school without having sidewalks. First of all, at 8 years old, they're not always paying attention to the traffic that's around them. And if they're not in a safe environment, even when I go down on Woodrow Street, there is so much traffic in such a short period of time that when I do see kids walking across the lawns going to school, I find it very nerve-wracking thinking they are going to get hit. And my point is when they do have a special day at school to bike to school or walk to school, I think people would be amazed to see how many kids do bike and walk with their family members. So I think if there was a safer environment for kids to walk to school or bike to school, you'd see more kids. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am?
Why did you get up now to follow her up? Mary Jo Nelson, 201 Brookridge Street. One big thing she mentioned, she lived on Dauphin, and I noticed that study, there is no sidewalk proposed for Dauphin. Dauphin's a through street, a lot of traffic on there. I live on Brookridge, and I've mentioned this at other meetings, that I've been there 42 years. Nothing has happened, and I counted the kids. When we moved in, there were 29 kids on three quarters of our street, as much as I can count. They all walked to school, and I think a lot of it was maybe all the families didn't have two cars, so Dad went to work, and I'm really dating myself from where I say that. But they even walked, kindergartners walked to Alloway School when it was where CVS was, you know, and those sidewalks, and they were all fine. Another thing I wanted to mention, we had a lady for probably 3 years that with her walker would go up and down Brookridge picking up sticks, going very slowly with her walker. She survived just fine because we don't have much traffic on Brookridge. But I'm just wondering that Dauphin Street, why nothing was proposed there if you're going to go after Brookridge. That doesn't make sense. I think I'll just cut it short right there because I think there's a lot of good comments coming up. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Sir, please.
Hi, Hi, I'm Kurt Byler from 511 Beaupré. My kids, Henry and Maya, bike and walk to school as much as they can, just from our family situation. We have an infant, and I work earlier. If you've ever seen the traffic at this intersection right here at 855, when they have to cross that, it's a nightmare. Like, some days, even when I go biking with them, you know, we're waiting up to 5 minutes, cars coming around that corner, they're not necessarily going 25 or 30, they're going a little bit faster. And it's difficult to get across, and they actually get across by themselves, but, you know, I try to train them well. But also, to get to Green Isle, or to get to Baird's Creek, which we bike to, or to the East River Trail, we have to cross Libel twice, because there's no sidewalk right across the street here. Otherwise, we could just go and sneak in that way. And within a four-house radius of my house, there's been four infants born in the last 14 months. So, I mean, those kids are growing up, and they're going to be going to that school, too. So, do you want to say anything?
I'm Maya Byler. I live at 511 Beaupré Street. And I think that when me and my brother Henry cross the street, it does kind of take a long time because we just don't know, like, even when it's kind of clear and there's never really, like, the perfect chance to cross, so we're like, wait, should we cross now or later? So it's, with the sidewalk, it would kind of make us feel more safe, and especially for other kids who live where there's not even a sidewalk. And when me and my brother walk home with some friends who also live over. And they even, I mean, as kids, they even watch me and my brother cross the street because, I mean, they tell me that they're scared sometimes, like me and my brother are too. So,
thank you, Ms. Byler.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Hi, my name is Steve Hamblin. I live at 316 East St. Joseph Street. As I went through this plan, I didn't read every page, I apologize, but I skimmed through a fair amount of it. I have to echo the gentleman's, I didn't catch his name earlier, that talked about the basis of the plan. My background is in project management on the industrial side, but I have a fair amount of background in that. There's a lot of flaws in how this was collected. I'm sure this is very well-meaning. We all know we all want to protect the kids. We want to make it safer. We want to encourage people to walk. But the fact of the matter is, in society, not just in Alloway, but in major cities, big and small across the country, if you looked at various trends in schools and habits and stuff, people are not walking to school anymore. Not just here in Alloway, not just in Chicago or Wisconsin, but every part of the country, people drive because they have too many things to do. They've got two cars now, so people are on the go. Like the gentleman said, you drive to the nearest point you can get to the store. People drive to the nearest point they can get to the school to pick up their children. So that extra half hour of walking time is immaterial to them. They'll have their kids get exercise the other way. The other thing is that a lot of the recommendations in this plan don't really address those issues. They're putting sidewalks where there's already a sidewalk, where there's nobody using that sidewalk anyway. So the plan is to encourage more sidewalk or more walking. We'll add a second sidewalk that's not going to be used either. That it just doesn't make any sense from a logic standpoint. Yet, like the one lady mentioned, there are access roads that have no sidewalks that are through, and it doesn't talk about even adding a sidewalk there. So I think the plan is well-intentioned, but there's a good majority of it that doesn't address the right things. And I think my recommendation would be to go through it and pick and choose those that actually make sense. Not just because we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars from the federal government, which is probably 38% borrowed from China anyway, but that's a whole separate issue, that we ought to not be spending money just to spend money because we got it for the plan. Pick the ones that make sense. If we need better crosswalks and things, then put those in. But it also goes to good length in talking about where the accidents are, and where children have been injured in the past based on past data, and I did not find a single recommendation in there that addressed either of those two locations. They're on the two busiest streets, 90% of them were. But as I skimmed through it, I didn't see a single recommendation that said, this is where we have accidents in the past. Let's do that, and that will help alleviate that. It's not in there. So from a child safety standpoint, it's very feel-good. We'll add more sidewalks. People will like to do the right thing. We're going to assume they will do the right thing and walk more. But, oh, by the way, we have these known safety instances along major thoroughfares, but we can't address those because they're more difficult than adding a second sidewalk or another crosswalk. And I would just ask that the board reconsider and pick and choose what makes sense and not just spend the money because it's there. We have other important things we can do with our time and money, I think, in the town. So that, Pat, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is John Batke. I live at 225 Brookridge and have lived there for a little over 35 years. The reason I chose that location 35 years ago is that we had a daughter and I did not want her to be bused. That was my big concern at that point. We moved into the neighborhood. There were abundance of children, different ages. And what we did have was we had a lot of walkers. Now, with that hill, you don't have many bikers simply because of the fact they can't get up the hill. So, what the deal was, where the older kids would actually come down to your home and pick up your younger child and walk them to school. And that was a majority of the walking that was done. That's a little bit of history. The chance for more walkers, more bikes with the survey, the numbers that were put up there, which was addressed before, is very, very shallow at best. And I'm sorry, I forgot your name. But anyway, the gentleman gave the presentation basically said there's a chance that we will get more walkers and bikers. But for the tune of $391, or $1,000, I'm sorry, $391,000, that's kind of a big chance that you may pick up a couple kids here or there. Living on that street, the speeders, or the people that are exceeding the speed limit, are who? The parents, who are late. We don't have any, as you know, that Brookridge is not a through street, so our traffic pattern is very, very low. But it's the parents trying to get their child to school on time is where the speeding occurs. And there is a true bottleneck up at that corner where all the kids are dropped off. And I think there's other ways you can do it. If you look at different communities, some of them paint the line along the right-hand side or whichever side the school happens beyond, right, left, whatever it may be, and have that designated for biking or walkers. I would think that'd be a lot more reasonable. You probably get the same effect, hopefully. But in the 38 years that I've lived there, I have yet to be notified or know of any type of accident involving a child. But at the rate of those parents going up that hill, it's inevitable. I absolutely believe sometime there will be one. And it's going to be a parent with a child hitting another child. And will sidewalks prevent that? Most likely. But how many children are going to walk when all their friends are in the road? I guess that's about all I have. It's hard in my mind to justify something which I think there's other alternatives for than to spend the $391,000 for sidewalks. And I'm just talking Brookridge because I don't know what else goes on St. Joseph or whatever streets are all involved. But just from that aspect and watching those parents speed up that hill, some mornings I have a tough time getting out of my driveway. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Sir?
I'm Grinner, 213 on Brookridge Street. I'd like to let you know basically the numbers of automobiles that are in and around Webster School. I count 25 cars parked every single day up on right behind the village, which is a very good indication that the kids are being picked up. On Brooklyn Street alone, there's usually 5, 6, 7 cars parked along Brooklyn Street picking up kids. The only kids I see walking down Brooklyn, 2, maybe 3, and now recently with a dad. But other than that, there's not been any type of traffic kid-wise on Brookwood Street. Most of it is car cool by cars, and that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, you were next.
My name is Gary Weeks. I live at 2008 Schroeder Lane. I live right next door to Mike. I've been in the Alloy for 11 years. Before that, I want to give an example of what we were forced to do. I lived on the west side of Green Bay. When Martin Luther King Elementary School opened up, I lived on LeCount. LeCount is a main street that goes from West Point all the way to Mason. There was already a sidewalk on the west side of the street. If you lived on the east side of the street, we lived on the west side. We were forced to put in sidewalks. Once those sidewalks were put in and the school opened up, it was a novelty. The kids used it, and they used it minimally. After the school, after the sidewalks were in the following year, very little traffic. No bikes, no kids. So the amount that you're proposing and what you're proposing to do, I've already gone through it. And to me, I think it's a waste of money. And I did exactly like Mike did. I retired a year ago, so for the last 2 weeks, I sat with my car in Bishop's Court's parking lot. On average, one kid or two kids a day, and that was it. At 3 o'clock, you're lucky if you can get into Associated Bank's parking lot, because the traffic is backed up on Woodrow from the back of the school all the way to St. Joe's, and they're parking all the way up to Webster, almost onto Webster Street. Kids aren't walking. Parents are picking them up. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am? You had your hand.
Kathy Gwynn, and I live on Woodrow Way. And I think I must have been living in a bubble because I just heard of all of this. I don't have any children, but living on Woodrow Way, I do see all the traffic because it is very difficult to get in and out of your house at the start and end time of school. I don't know if that's a road that you're proposing a sidewalk. Is that? Can you tell me yes or no?
No.
It's not.
Woodrow.
Yeah, there's one on Woodrow.
Yes.
I think they're adding one on the
Woodrow West. Both sides, or
you say Joseph Street? Yeah.
Yes. Both sides of the street.
One side of the road.
Just one side.
The east side. The west.
I think it's east.
The east side
of the road.
East side.
Okay, so that would be my side of the road. I guess I would have concern for children's safety because, like I said, I cannot get out of my driveway, and the way parents use the all those driveways as turnaround points. I don't know that they would even see the children walking along that road. I think it's very dangerous. And I'm the second house in. Like I said, parents whip in and out of there before school, after school. I feel like my driveway is a turnaround point. If there were kids walking in front of that, I don't think they would even see them because they're in such a hurry and quickly turn around. They don't follow the pattern to go around the circle and back out. So I guess for that reason, I would say I am against it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am?
My name is Tanya Sharp. I live at 919 South Quincy Street. I have a fifth grader and a second grader at Webster Elementary. I'm here because I believe it is our civic duty to promote and provide for the safety of the youngest members in our community. I want you to know that there are currently initiatives to increase walking and riding your bicycle to school. Live 54218 holds a walking to school, walk to school day every single year. And I'm going to shock you by telling you that we have over 95% at our school on these days participate in walk to school and ride your bike to school day. We even won an award for it, not this year, but last year. So the past 2 years, we've had over 95% of our students participate in this day. We do need these sidewalks for the safety of our children. They're right. Traffic does back up. That's because we don't have routes for our kids to walk or ride their bikes. I believe these sidewalks would help alleviate some of the congestion and some of the traffic that you've heard about tonight. Let's see, there have actually, in fact, been incidents with students in cars. I'm not sure why the gentleman out there that said he's never heard of them. I don't know how he got that information. Being at the school for the past 6 years, I do know of incidents that have happened. We do take walking field trips, as had been mentioned before. These sidewalks would be incredibly beneficial. I question the reasonability to do a study when it's below zero temperatures because I wouldn't send my kid out to walk to school with that because I think that would be actually not wise of me as a parent to do so. I also want everybody to realize there is no busing available if you live within a two-mile radius of your school because the school expects that more students to walk to school. Just off the top of my head, sitting here tonight, the Schraders walk to school, the Balls walk to school, the Byers walk to school, the Kipps walk to school, the Hesses walk to school, the Robinsons walk to school. And these are kids, these are families with more than one kid. So I don't know why the children are not being seen. And I would tell you, you're right on the money when you said that those surveys only got sent in from the 4K to second graders because I know my fifth grader doesn't bring home things. And sometimes I'm lucky to get my second graders. So the survey is a small portion of our school, but it's very well, these sidewalks are truly, truly needed. Thank you.
Ma'am?
My name is Sue Schutte, and I live at 350 Taft Street, so I'm not even in the school district. But my children walk to school every day from kindergarten through fifth grade to Langley School. They walk down Taft Street, which does not have a sidewalk. It is a through street from Webster to Riverside, so it's a busy cut-through street. We taught our children how to face traffic. They walked in groups to school with the other kids. And I would really recommend this for Webster School. If you want kids to walk to school, you need to get groups in the neighborhood walking together to school again. There weren't a lot of kids around. A lot of parents drove their kids to school, but we found enough that would walk. And second grader would walk kindergartners. That was our oldest, a second grader walking kindergartners. But they faced the traffic. When they got up to Webster and Broadview, they had sidewalks. And they had a crossing guard at Webster. We had taught the kids how to cross because in the middle of Webster, they have to stop right in the middle to get across the next lanes of traffic even. They learned from kindergarten on how to do it. We practiced with them. And if you really want kids to walk to school, you have to show them all that
They did not push along Webster, push somebody into the road. They walked them along the grass side. We taught them all the safety things they could do, and they got ball walking to school every day. They enjoyed it, and the only problem was when they would walk in winter, we live in a hilly town. The sidewalks on Webster, or on Broadview, were slippery. They could not walk the sidewalks. They had to walk on the grass, on the snow banks, because the sidewalks were too dangerous along. So if you're going to have that on St. Joseph's, you're going to have them on all those. Those sidewalks are dangerous to walk on. They knew we told them to walk on the snowy banks. So you're going to have some issues if you have sidewalks. Of all the connector streets that aren't as busy, St. Joseph's is a busy street. If you're going to have sidewalks, you know, that people can funnel their kids to the safer streets and get along St. Joseph up to Webster, I think, you know, that might be something you'd look into, where you put those sidewalks. The other thing is, it sounds to me like you have a drop-off problem with the traffic where the kids are dropped off for school. I think that needs to be addressed.
Thank you. Sir?
My name is Jim Colts, 524 East St. Joseph's. Gene, Ed, put up with me for a while, have you?
Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, I guess cancer didn't kill me, and neither did truck wrecks or anything, but I'm back to haunt you.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, is St. Joseph Street from Libel down there, anything on sidewalks? Nothing, huh? That's out of the question. Okay. That was a big thing that I was wondering about. You're positive on that.
Plan,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear where you were talking from right away.
From Libel down St. Joseph, all the way down. Nothing on sidewalks on
east,
there, right?
East of Libel on St. Joseph.
Libel, the East River.
No, but at this point, not plans right now. Probably
okay, and if
plan.
You ever do, just remember, that was all discussed when this was all put in. It goes in on the left. It's all built in for that. If you go through the meetings, all the minutes and everything, that's all been discussed on that. And also another thing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Colts, when you say the left, you mean on the
north side.
On the north side, right. Also another thing, half the time when the sidewalks are in, people don't know enough to walk on them. And another thing, when people walk down the street where there ain't a sidewalk, they don't know what side the sidewalk, the street to walk on. People don't know enough to walk facing traffic. Don't people know that today? Nobody tell anybody any of that? Do they not know that St. Joseph Street, the speed limit is 25 speed limit? Most people don't. Even the squad cars don't know that. They don't know there's a stop sign. You come down East River Drive to St. Joseph Street, there's a stop sign. The Village of Alloway trucks, all of them, they come down, they'll slow down, but they don't stop.
That's because they know you're watching, Mr. Colts.
Well, come down there and watch them once. Yeah. They had in the paper about stopping for the big wide line there. Go watch how many do not stop where that line is. I don't care if it's people, if it's city trucks, if it's squad cars. They don't stop. People don't pay any attention to that stuff today. They're all in too big of a hurry. I was in a hurry for all my life. I lived 80 years this way. Now cancer was going to try and get me. They tried twice. They ain't going to bury me yet. I'm going to be 100 and haunt you people.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for putting up with me. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Good luck.
Sir.
Good luck.
Roger Retzloff. I live at 209 West Whitney Street. I'm a vice chair of the Plan Commission who reviewed the Safe Routes to School study and recommended it to the Village Board for passage. It's our belief as a commission, that a planning commission, that the methods used to develop this plan are valid, are consistent with industry practice, and the plan and the recommendations to provide facilities for those who would choose to use them were done with a very objective and with a good view towards providing for future generations. There's a realization in our comprehensive plan that certain aspects of the way the village was platted and developed with its street and transportation system are inadequate for all people. There's a distinct need for people to be able to walk one of the and ride bicycles. Bicycles should be ridden in the streets, not on sidewalks, unless you're using a bicycle of 20 inches or less in wheel diameter. But the main point I want to make is that the plan is a solid plan, and it's consistent with other safe routes to school plans that have been done throughout Wisconsin and other parts of the nation. So it's not, they use survey methods, they didn't use statistical methods in developing the goals and the objectives for this plan. The sidewalks are being considered for people who want to choose to walk and want a safe place to walk. The edge of the street is not necessarily a safe place to walk anymore. It's an effort on the part of the village to make the schools more accessible to more people in more ways than just having to be driven there in a car. So I just wanted to reiterate the fact that the Planning Commission seriously considered this report and accepted it and recommended it to you as something that was important for the village and for its future generations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Ed Keating, and I live at 153 Brook Ridge. I lived there about 12 years. This nice gentleman said that this was, that the data was, well, it struck me funny that the data for the entire state of Wisconsin was passed out to kids, and the kids took it home to have mom and dad fill out. That doesn't make any sense to me. But maybe that's what happened. But I don't think that putting the sidewalks in is going to reduce the number of people who drive their children to school for whatever reason. Maybe they're concerned about their safety. That's certainly within their rights. The last time I spoke, I suggested that we have more modification done to that drop-off point at the top of Brook Ridge. Maybe that turn needs to be widened. Certainly, I would like to see more police there at the time of morning drop-off and the time of afternoon pickup. There's that little space around the corner from Brook Ridge where it's a little parking lot. I think to run a sidewalk from there over to the to the school would be advisable. At least there'd be fewer children walking along that section of the street where it's busiest, where the people are making that turn. Wouldn't it be nice if we could drop down some temporary sidewalk to see if it had an effect, and then, you know, oh no, it doesn't have an effect, let's take it up and move on. But we can't do that. But the other thing that I looked at was it doesn't help the situation off of Brook Ridge, but to run a sidewalk in the park behind the houses on Brook Ridge, then you wouldn't take out trees, you wouldn't take out driveways, you wouldn't take out fire plugs and water supply and all of that on the street. And you'd still have a sidewalk there for people to walk and to ride their bikes and to have a park right there if they wanted to run across the park. But I really don't see that the sidewalks are going to make the difference in terms of people dropping off their kids by automobile. The other thing is I saw a movie some time ago about and the question that came was brought up was, you know, follow the money. And I wonder really where all of this money is coming from and where it's going. So, thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Hi, my name is Stacey Hess. I live at 308 Warren Court. I have two daughters that are 8 and 10. Constantly they're asking me if they can ride their bikes or walk to school. We live about a mile from the school, and they take the bus. It takes about 45 minutes on the bus for them to get to school. And they're always asking me if they can go. And when I do walk with them, the reason they can't walk by themselves is only because of the traffic. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I'm not worried about somebody grabbing them off the street. I'm purely worried about the traffic. They've been taught to not talk to strangers and all that in there together, so I don't worry about that. But I do worry about the traffic a lot. And when we do walk to school, it takes about 18 minutes to walk from our house, which is a little bit faster than, I think somebody said, 2 miles an hour. And my youngest one's 8 years old, so it's actually quicker than taking the bus. The other point I would like to make is we have an after-school program for running. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after school, they run, and I know they run up Brookridge Street. And there's about 30 kids that are running up and down that street in the after-school program. And I think some of the extra sidewalks would be a huge help in that. I really, really do believe that. And I think that also, my kids know to walk towards traffic, but when you're 8, sometimes you forget and you get distracted. And I also think the after-school program, they may be coming up the wrong side of the street only to prevent them from having to cross the street to get to the right side, to get up the hill, then cross the street again get to the other side. So I do believe that's why they're frequenting probably what is considered the wrong side of the street for a pedestrian. But I think a lot of kids at that age do know and have been trained that they need to walk towards traffic to see what's coming at them. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Becky Nyberg, and I live at 214 Simonette Street, and I was on the committee to look at the plan, and I've been helping the village. I work for the Brown County Health Department, and I want people to realize that this plan is, for the Safe Routes to School plan for the sidewalks, is a three-part plan. We looked at Webster School. We realize that they really need infrastructure changes before anything can change. That I was the one went there, the parents driving in every which way, the kids not. If I was a parent, I wouldn't let my child at this point walk there just because the other parents driving their kids to school. That if we get the better facilities in, then you work with the school and you train the parents where they can drop their kids off safely, where the kids can walk safely. You do the encouragement, you finish it up. The other thing is that the people who are saying, you know, the school population is dropping, we as a village have to realize that the people who live in houses is going to be changing over. If you live in a three-bedroom house and you sell it, you're not going to sell it to another 60-year-old person. You're going to sell it to somebody with kids. And honestly, 29 years ago when I was pregnant, I was looking for a house, and I looked for one in the village on St. Joseph Street. We did not buy it because there was not a sidewalk there, and I knew there was a school behind the house, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to let my kid walk to the park or to the school because the street was too busy and there was no sidewalk there. And so there was a reason why I didn't buy the house. And I think that the village is really needs to look to the future, that the people who are looking to buy suburban homes with families want amenities like sidewalks, want villages to be connected. And the other thing is that the village has just applied for this grant. They don't know if they've gotten it yet.
And so I don't think that there's any reason for the village board to take any action until they find out for sure that the grant was received. And the second thing is, these monies have been dropped. The fund was at $13 million at one point, $8 million. The funds for non-motorized transportation projects are dropping. And if they do get the grant and turn it down, there's not going to be another opportunity. So the village would be really losing, if they got the grant and turned it down, they'd be losing a huge opportunity to get these facilities in. They can make the village bring up the property values. Homes with sidewalks that are perceived as safer, you know, sell for more, have better resale value. So I really think that it should be. I understand the neighbors' concerns of maybe not wanting a sidewalk in front of their house, but there at this point, individual homeowners will not be assessed any cost for the sidewalk. It's going to be paid for with the grant and with village funds. All of us need to be investing in facilities in good places in Alloway, not everywhere, but where it's necessary. And so I think we need to just take a step back and wait and see if the village even gets, because if the village doesn't get the grant, then they'd have to pay 100% of the cost for the sidewalk, and that would be a completely different project and would need a new vote. But we don't know if they're going to get the grant or not. And I think that it should be just, let's wait and see. And if they do, then really look at the future of the village and who's going to be buying the homes and who's going to be living there. And the schools go up and down with the age of the people living in the homes. So,
thank you. Hello, I'm Holly Mathis, and I live at 500 Brookridge Street, so I would be the intersection of this all, which, sorry I'm late to the game, but I didn't know that this was going on, but I think I bring I can see it from many angles, and she's easy to follow up on, thank you very much for that. I can see from many angles because I live on the corner of a very busy street. Libel is very busy, and it's getting busier, and I've been a resident for 11 years, so I am in one of those neighborhoods that is circulating around. The people that had lived there before that had raised children are now moving out, and I see a next generation moving forward. So as I address the board, I say you really do need to look to the future, because you have to stay viable as a village. We are compared with our neighbors, DePere and Ledgeview, and that is why we're competing for having a younger family and population in the area. You need to always be looking towards the future and what we're going to provide, and I think that's what some of the other neighboring cities have done. They have to look at the population, how it's going to be circulating around, how that's going to be changing, and how obviously the environment around the homes is also changing. I get that there's a lot of traffic, but we have to start out small because we do need to change. We can't just say that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's been for, I'm sure people want to just stab me in the back of the neck right now. That's the way it's always been. We'll never get you anywhere. You can't just say that's how it's going to be and the way it's always been, because unfortunately things continue to circulate around and we need to be looking towards the future. And how do we continue to keep people safe in a community that is in constant change and for the people that live there? So I can see it because I have to maintain a sidewalk. I get it. You know, I have children. When I moved in, I didn't. But I still have a bus stop on my corner. I still have many things that I have to maintain, because that's part of living in the village and having those things available for other people to use. So thank you.
My name is Cindy Sleeman. I live at 2629 Bell Court. We are on the very boundary, end of the boundary for Webster School. 5 years ago, when my husband and I were looking for a home, starting our family, we wanted to live in Alloway. We loved the Webster School area. I love Webster School. I love the teachers, everything about that area. I do not want my children. We are actually closer to go to Langley, but we were on the boundary of Webster, so that is where we choose to go. My kids are second and first grade. They beg me every day to take their bikes or to walk to school. We would have to cross Libel. We would have to cross Alloway Avenue, go up St. Joseph or Brookridge, and I'm not comfortable with the traffic. I'm a parent who drops my kids off in the morning, and between my husband and I, we share picking them up in the afternoon. I would love for them to be able to take their bikes. I do not feel safe for them to take their bikes. In the next 4 years, on our street alone, there are going to be 7 kids going to Webster School. As parents, we have all talked about it and said we would love for our kids together, as a group of 7, to be able to walk or take their bikes to school, but we do not feel safe because of the traffic patterns that they have to cross. Yes, speaking with the people that have come up, traffic is horrendous around the school. Some of that can be alleviated if we are able to allow our kids to walk. I park in the municipal lot to pick my kids up by the fire station. Every day there are 10 to 15 kids walking down that section of Woodrow and going down Dauphin and going down Alloway Avenue. So there are kids that are walking. I stop my van and let them cross because they are waiting to be able to cross the road to continue down Dauphin. Okay, so if it was safe, there would be more kids walking. I can guarantee you that as a parent, there would be more kids walking and biking if the parents felt safe enough for them to do that. One of the other things that I think would tremendously help, again, with the congestion that we are facing all the time, especially off of St. Joseph going onto Woodrow, not allowing a left-hand turn. Currently in the morning, cars can turn left. It backs up. There is a traffic bottleneck that happens every single morning. Anybody who's dropping their kids off will tell you that happens every single morning because we're waiting for cars to turn left.
If there's a sign there.
The sign is only for the afternoon. It is not for morning drop-off. It only is between 3 and 4. So for morning drop-off, it is not illegal to make a left-hand turn. Making that change alone would help with that traffic pattern, would help with the flow, but you still have kids that are trying to walk down Woodrow. And when those kids are trying to walk down Woodrow and there's a bottleneck of traffic and there's cars trying to park to drop their kids off to bring them into school, it's not safe. So I ask you to please review this grant, and if the grant does come through, make it safe for our kids to come to school. Because in the next years, when we've got 7 kids coming off that road, we would love to be able to have them walk or bike to school. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
Good evening. Christopher Lauder, 325 Brookridge Street. I may be being ignorant of village ordinance here, but is there an ordinance against children walking through Webster Park to school?
No.
Well, Webster Park runs with access from Brookridge Street to East River all the way to Memory Court, which runs all the way down to the already sidewalk to Libel Street. I think children walking through Webster Park would be safer than even a sidewalk. There's no traffic, no risk of people backing in and out of driveways. I'm not seeing the issue here. I'm a father of 2 who plans to send my children to the Webster Park area, and they're going to walk right through it up to school. There's a 3-way intersection that all culminates right at the end of the school. There's absolutely no need for a sidewalk on Brookridge Street. There's already one that runs right through the park to the back of the yards. The only traffic that runs up and down Brookridge Street are residents and parents of children. It's not a through street. There's no other traffic. One or 2 kids walking up it all the time. The kids that run from Webster School, they run through the park already. I walk my family through the park. There's no need for a sidewalk.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Thank you. Stephanie Hamlin, 3160 St. Joseph Street. I look at this proposal, we all want something safe for our kids, and what I'm hearing is that there is a congestion at the school. Why hasn't a study been done to try to make it safer around the school. I have two children who walk to school most days, or I pick them up or I take them if the weather's not good. And they walk to St. Matthew's. They know. They cross over to the sidewalk on St. Joseph. They walk up to the street at the light. They check which way they can walk, check for cars coming, cross over, and they walk along the sidewalk all the way down Webster to St. Matthew's. Same thing coming back and coming home. If there is a problem, why isn't there a school guard there right by the school? My kids never see anybody walking on the street, and the people that they do pass after they pass the school on Webster is very rarely do they ever see a child. And if it is congested or they feel they want to change, they walk through Webster School, they walk down through the park, through Floral, and they come around. And most of the people in our neighborhood are very considerate of the children stopping so they can cross the street. So I don't see why we want to live in a cement society with so many sidewalks. Well, we already have a sidewalk on St. Joseph. We have one on Libel, and the children aren't using it. I believe someone said earlier, maybe on Tap Street, we should teach our children how to cross the street again. And maybe by being a parent, walking with your child once in a while, they'll want to walk a little bit more, and maybe other kids so they can walk in a group. Alloway is a very safe neighborhood for our children to walk. And I think just because it's free money doesn't mean we should waste it all the time. Look at our deficit right now. We need to think of what our children are going to be faced paying all this money back. Thank you.
Thank you. Have you spoken already, sir?
Yes, I
have. I'm going to hold up. Sir, please.
Clarence from 2680 South Webster Avenue. I'm about to fail my Dale Carnegie course again tonight. You know the ones that how to make friends and influence people?
Which part are you going to fail?
Probably both. My comments tonight will be a little bit of a repeat from the previous meeting because of the new members on the board who were not present last time and some new data that I have discovered. I hardly know where to begin, but the word that comes to mind is blunder. Let me explain that. This afternoon I was surprised or more accurately disappointed that there has been an ongoing intensive study regarding the proposed sidewalks for 3+ years without notification or involvement of any of the property owners who will be impacted. As you're aware, I'm more aware than most citizens what is going on in our local government, and I didn't know anything about these sidewalks or I would have spoken up sooner. It's a good meeting tonight. Too bad it didn't do it 2 years ago. There's some good ideas that came out that have not been explored by anyone, at least I think so. Since I only became aware of the study at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I had not time to review it thoroughly, but I did see enough to confirm what I had said before, that Webster School enrollment has declined substantially, that there are very few walkers, and that there have been very few pedestrian or bicycle accidents since 2005. The study also indicates that none of these accidents would have been prevented had there been sidewalks in place. There's never been a child fatality going to or from school in Alloway in the past 45 years. As an aside, and this is triggered by some of the things I heard tonight, I was surprised to learn that nobody has counted students at crossing guards for over 2 years. We used to do that every year because you sometimes have to change them, add, or subtract. So I think somebody better get on top of that one. Another idea came up at the last meeting, which I think is a very good one, and that's utilizing the village parking lot at the western end of Brookbridge as a turnaround, and maybe jointly with the school district and the village, you could pay for a sidewalk from Webster to that parking lot. By the way, I'll take a little credit for that parking lot. We bought that in my suggestion many years ago as a potential in case we ever couldn't expand the fire department into a police department. But it turned out to be a good idea. But I think that would work pretty good. That was a good idea that somebody gave. Allow me to repeat. Dalhousie's population is nearly identical to what it was in 1970. And declining, grade school enrollment in Alloway schools in 1972 was 1,948. And I can't read my own writing. Either in 2010 or 2012, it's 1,029, which is a reduction of roughly 45%. The enrollment peak at Webster School in 1985 was 597. 2 weeks ago, it was 345. That's another 40% decline. Nothing came out tonight. I can't understand why the school would have children running down Brookridge when you got Webster Park. Why did they have them running on there? Somebody might call them up about that. Agree?
I think we heard they are running down there from the last gentleman who spoke. They are running through the park.
Well, I thought the lady said it was...
She did, so maybe they just made that shift, or maybe they do some beach, I'm not sure.
But give me these numbers. How can you possibly justify putting sidewalks in at this time? And over the objections of the residents who will have to shovel them, lose trees, some of them will lose brick paved driveways. And, you know, I echo what several people said. It's rational that the feds will pick up most of the costs is not a valid reason to engage in the project. As far as I'm concerned, it would be a socialistic make-work project. I hate to say the sex thing, but I will say it because you know me and my reputation for candor. The idea of cherry-picking an existing plan, that's not a bad idea. The plan in total is not good, I don't think. In conclusion, if you do not withdraw the application, I'll encourage and help the affected owners to circulate a petition opposing the project, submitting it to the board, to our elected officials in Washington, and the federal agency that approves the project. Asking them to deny it, because the project has very little merit and is opposed by the citizens that are impacted the most. And the personal final comment, the project as it currently stands, in my experience, my opinion, is the most wasteful proposed public works projects that I've seen in Alloway in 45 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sir? No. Guy behind you.
That's what you're signing up.
Hi, Paul. Hi, my name is Kevin Koski. I reside at 636 St. Joseph Street down the road here. I actually have nothing to gain in this fight. As I understand it, there's not going to be a sidewalk going from Lyville to East River. I'm here to show my concerns about, I think maybe some of the money that's going to be allocated and funded for this could go to repair roadbeds as opposed to, maybe we could split the money to do the roadbeds and maybe we could do sidewalks that are closer to the height, to the schools, you know, that are in question. And I think, or over here that we could widen these drop-off areas for people. I resided there for 23 years. I see more children dropped off with cars than are walking, quite frankly. So I'm just saying I have nothing to gain in this or that, but I think that maybe if you could split the money and allocate it to fix some roadbeds and address some of the other situations, maybe we could, it'll not have the burden on all the residents that are going to get the sidewalks put in. And then you talk about bicycling. Well, the last I heard, you probably could take the bicyclers out of the equation, because if you're a bicycler, you're not bicycling on a sidewalk, you're bicycling on a street. So last I heard, it's illegal to bicycle on a sidewalk. Even though people do it, but, you know, I don't know. That's what I heard. Is it illegal or is it illegal?
For smaller bikes, you can ride on the sidewalk.
Oh, you can? Okay. All right. Well, that's all I had to say.
You know, thank you.
There's my two cents.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Tom Pigeon. I live at 409 Brookridge Street. Lived there for almost 43 years. We had four children that walked to school. When our last was going to kindergarten, we just didn't feel quite as comfortable with her walking, and we put her on a bus, actually. I don't think putting sidewalks on our side of the street is going to really change the thinking of people. I think which was brought up earlier, the fact that society is different. I think a lot of people just, we heard some people talking about they would want their kids to walk, but I think if the sidewalks went in, I don't think we'd see that big a change in walking. Kids are, you know, even kids that are told to walk on the sidewalk might not even walk on the sidewalk. They still might walk in the street. I'm a walker. What's going to happen in the wintertime? I know St. Joseph's was terrible this year. I like walking year-round, and a lot of times the streets, the sidewalks are not shoveled. And, of course, that would be more of a burden put on us on Brookridge as far as having to clear that sidewalk area as well as our driveway. So I'm not in favor. I'm definitely in favor of safety for children, but I'm not in favor of the sidewalks going in on Brookridge too. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we're going to wrap up this.
One more, yes.
Did you already speak, sir?
I did, but I didn't speak enough.
Do you have something new to add that wasn't said by another resident?
Yeah, I do. I think I'd like to give it a try. If you don't, take me off the podium.
Okay.
How's that? I apologize for not coming up here before. Two things that I'd like to point out. One, and I'm Bill Gagnon again.
Still, right?
Still. Okay. And Daniel Jowalski, he's at 159 Brookridge Street. He's an industrial occupational psychology individual. He's got his credentials. He was addressing your plan and the plan that was provided for the board and was saying that that plan is inaccurate. I think as a board, in recognition of Daniel's credentials, should be looked at after our meeting here today to see whether or not what has been presented to the board is truly accurate, since Daniel is saying it's not. And it isn't as though he is a person unlettered. He is accredited in the industry that they, you know, pay him to make a living in. So I really think that that should be looked at very closely. As far as your report, I too have never seen it before, so I've only had the opportunity to see it within the last 45 minutes. I see here where it says the pedestrian crashes in Alloway. 9 of the 15 crashes, and then it talks about where they were on this sheet. That's in the event that the population don't know what we're talking about, then we may or may not have gotten it. It's in this report from the board. This report from the board. And if you look at the sheet, it says in clear stars, one person involved in a bicycle accident, and on the gray star, two people were involved in there. And one of the things that it says in here is that 9 of the 15 crashes involved adult bicyclists. And only one bicyclist was younger than 14 years of age. So we're talking about the safety of children. There doesn't appear to be very many incidences, accidental-wise, with children, when the vast majority of these 15 crashes are with adults. So why are there being so much emphasis placed on the safety of children when in the 45 years of, like the last gentleman was talking about, there hasn't been any deaths from it and very little injury? So we need to think as Americans, all of this money that's being spent is divided up by all of us in our country. And just because somebody can give us a grant doesn't constitute the necessity of using that in an unwise way. We really do need to have some fiduciary responsibility to one another. to one another. So, in summation, I would like to be able to point out that either your plan, according to this gentleman, is dead wrong, or you're right, or maybe a little bit of each, but we should at least get these kinds of people together and give us a report as a community. Hey, this is what we found out between these two opposing professionals. I take it you're a professional in the industry?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you are. Okay, so one of you fellows are wrong. And we need to find out which one is wrong. Don't you all think?
Absolutely.
No? We're going to have to wrap it up now.
Right.
I think you've made your point.
Thank you for letting me come up here and do that.
Thank you.
I hope we're able to get to an equitable arrangement here.
We are going to make sure to put this on the next agenda, and we will take it up again. It's going to most likely be as an action item on the next agenda, which means the board could take an action on it. Tonight was only up for discussion. What that action will be, I can't even guess at what it will be. It could be to send it back to a committee. It could be to get more information from the Planning Commission. It could be we need to get information on whether how far the grant is along. So I can't promise what the outcome is going to be, but it will be on the next agenda under the action section.
Can I address
yes,
that?
Please. Okay.
excuse me. Obviously, we've heard a lot of good comments on both sides, and I think there are a lot of valid points made by a lot of different people on both sides. What I want to do real quick before we wrap up is just kind of summarize the process we go through for this grant. What this is, it's something that's administered through our Urbanized Area Transportation Agency. It's money that's actually given to our urbanized area for the purposes of improving safety around schools, improving bicycle pedestrian facilities, and things like that. So it's specifically targeted for what we're talking about tonight. Okay? And it's given to us in our urbanized area for that purpose. Okay, so I know we've heard tonight that some people might want to appeal to Washington, but it's not necessarily coming from Washington in this case. It's originating there, but it's actually coming from the urbanized area itself. It's our money to spend on these types of projects. Now, what Halloway's done is submitted that application for something that fits the criteria of this program. Okay. In terms of schedule, what's going to happen next, though, is we expect our Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors, which oversees our transportation agency for the urbanized area, to make a decision as to whether or not the project will be funded, I believe, on May 7th. So, I guess if you were to make a decision as to whether or not you want to continue to pursue this, I would encourage you to make that decision prior to May 7th.
Okay.
But again, it's something that, it's not something we can divert to road projects necessarily or something else. And really what happens is if we don't use it for what we're discussing tonight or a project like it, it goes somewhere else for the same purpose. We lose out on that opportunity here. Okay. So it's not something that if we don't spend it, it just goes back into the pot. It goes to some other place that wants to use it for this purpose. So that's a little bit of background on how the program works, and if you have any questions, I can answer those too.
We'll take up the rules then, and are there any questions from the board at this point? Trustee Dart?
This is for you, Paul.
Yes.
Was it looked at that as some kind of path could go? I know there's a path already through Webster, but I can see, you know, I'm for the Safe Road for School plan, but I can see that Webster Park is right adjacent to this whole strength. Whole length of Brookridge. Was anything else considered that it could go in through the park?
Well, I think there was an assumption that some kids would continue to do that, but if I could put this back up in here, I can kind of diagram. Hopefully I can pop it back up. There we go. Can I get the lights?
Yeah.
The reason the sidewalks were recommended at the locations where they were, on Brookridge, St. Joseph, and elsewhere, is when we looked at, Again, all the kids who live within that mile radius were in this area here. The idea the task force had in conjunction with the Planning Commission staff was to try to channel as many kids as possible to this point and to this corner. Okay? So when they reach these points, and again, this is supposed to be complemented by, in the future at least, crossing guards to get the kids across to these points, which would be on the north side of Brookridge and the south side of St. Joseph. So once the crossing guards got those kids to those points and across to those points, then they could go up here without having to cross additional streets. Now, if they wanted to continue across here and go up to the park, they could do that. But since there were so many kids down in this area here, the task force believed the best thing to do would be to channel them to this point here and then walk them up here. But as I mentioned before, this sidewalk on Brookridge had a dual purpose. One was to channel the kids to this point so they could walk without any conflict up to the school sidewalk that exists right now. But it was also, again, to try to reduce the traffic congestion where it exists on the north side, for providing a much longer area for parents to park to pick up and drop off kids. So again, you can disperse the traffic around the campus as opposed to having it concentrate so much in this area. So again, that sidewalk over here had a dual purpose.
Cole, is it a couple of recommendations were to sort of cherry pick, I think, was the word that was used, out of the current proposal. Does that affect this May 6th or 7th vote? I mean, if we decided this next meeting that, hey, we want to take another look at this and we want to resubmit, or is it a complete resubmittal, or can we revise the existing proposal that's in front of the county planning?
Yeah, what we're facing is a state-imposed deadline for us submitting our projects that we choose to the state. Okay, so the money is awarded locally, but the program is administered by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation statewide. So since the Planning Commission Board of Directors only meets once a month, we need to decide whether or not to fund the Alloway project on May 7th, or else we'd have to wait until June, which would be beyond the state-imposed deadline. Okay. So what we've been told is if we don't decide where we want to put our money prior to that state-imposed deadline, we will have to wait until the next application cycle for the project.
And what's involved in the application? I mean, as far as the engineering and everything that goes into it, if we came to the conclusion, you know what, instead of having them go down St. Joseph and Brookridge, we're going to try to actually build a sidewalk through the park so that kids know exactly where to go, would that involve so much engineering background that we wouldn't be able to revise that proposal in time for the next Planning Committee meeting?
Well, I think at this point, that the engineering aspect of this, I think, would be a good question for your engineering staff. But the other aspect of it, in terms of the application cycle, is unlike in the past, this is the first cycle where we've had a two-phase application cycle. What the applicants had to do initially was develop a pre-submittal application that would be reviewed locally and by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to determine its eligibility. Okay, Alloway did that, and the project that's already been before you has been submitted, and the state DOT and the local said, yes, go ahead and proceed to phase two, which is the full application phase, which is where we are right now. All right. So if you were to change it significantly, I don't know how that would affect it. I'm assuming if you were to change it slightly, it might not affect it. But again, that goes back to the engineering aspect of this that perhaps you're staff
may. So what you're saying is it's pretty much an all or nothing proposition, and that if you can make perhaps minor adjustments, but if anything of any substance, it's too late in the game because we're well beyond this two-step process.
But that's what we were told by the state, yes. Thank you.
Is it now or never?
Trustee Dart?
Clarence, come on.
Is there... is there any way to amend a grant after it's already issued?
After it's been submitted?
Yes.
Or approved?
Approved.
Well, that's a good question. I guess in terms of cost, once the grant is approved, that caps the amount of federal money you get. So if you were to amend it and it would become more expensive, the additional cost would be borne by the village.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. if you were to, again, slightly modify what you intend to do, I'm not sure how the state would react to that. But if it were a slight modification, it might not be a huge deal. But if the cost shifted a little bit or a lot, it could affect it.
But actually the cost could maybe be reduced by making that change.
It's possible.
So then is that possible that we amend it to less at that point in time?
So is it a cost thing or a content?
It's a little of both. And again, it's more content. And again, I think it goes back to a significant modification that might affect the project. If it's a minor modification, it might not. And again, in terms of cost, if you were to reduce the overall cost of the project, again, your money is capped, and it can't cover any more than 80%. So if you were at, say, $300,000 at 80% and you reduce it a little bit, you might only be able to receive $280,000. But that might still represent 80% of the project.
Understand.
Yeah. So I think you can tweak it a bit, but I'm honestly not sure how much.
Trustee Dunn?
You said we had to wait for the, if this was not approved or if it was tabled or whatever, that you have to wait for the next cycle. When would that next cycle be? How long is that? Is it skip certain communities and go in hopscotch around the area, or is it the...
Trustee Dennis, could you make sure to speak into the microphone? I'm not sure you're being completely picked up in your comments.
What I'm asking is, what is the next cycle? If it's not approved in the cycle, it's tabled, if whatever happens, you said you would have to wait for the next cycle. When would that cycle commence? And is that something that you can be included or excluded at in any way?
Yeah. What we've been told at this point is the next application cycle will begin in either the fall or early winter of 2014 or 2015. So it's not like it's 5 years down the road. It's within from the next year when the next cycle begins. But I guess one thing to mention is, as I mentioned before, our urbanized area does get a certain amount of money to spend on these types of projects. At this point, I believe Alloway is positioned to probably do very well in this cycle. In the future, if you do decide to do the project, there may be far more competition, and it would come down to a decision made by the Planning Commission Board of Directors as to which projects were funded. And it's difficult to say how Alloway would do in the future. But again, I do believe that your application is very competitive. The fact that it does reflect your adopted Safe Routes to School plan is very important. And it appears at this point that it would be a very competitive project. But down the road, it's hard to say.
If it were removed from the pool right now, would that action have any bearing on future applications, or are all applications evaluated on the criteria outlined by the planning the rules that the Planning Commission is following?
Correct. No, if you were to withdraw it now, you could submit the same application or a similar application in the next cycle if you choose to.
And the fact that we withdrew it would not be considered in the evaluation of the...
No.
Right.
No.
So it's based on however many criteria you have for evaluating the proposals, and yeah, that's it.
We start from scratch every cycle, and it's based on the merits of the project.
Okay.
Question?
Yes.
Cole, is there a way...
Pardon? Trustee Rapp.
Cole, is there a way to find out what the parameters are if we do make changes? Is there a way that you can find the answer to that so that we know what we can do?
We can certainly contact the state coordinator and find out how much of modification could occur to the existing application and still make it eligible.
That would be great.
You said it would be based on the merits of what we do. Do we know what, in point of fact, those merits are? In other words, I have a goal. Here are my specific points I have to hit to get from where I am to where I want to be. And is it possible, you say this is a good program, that this one that hits those merits, that we could once again recreate that possibility of hitting a program with merits but more akin to what people are searching for? So I'm saying, is there a parameter of what those merits are specifically laid out that we can all understand?
There are specific criteria at this point, and ultimately what it comes down to is the decision of the Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors. So what we intend to do for this cycle, at this point, Alloway is the only competitor. because there was another application that was going to be submitted, and at the last minute was pulled. So, again, at this point, since your application is requesting less than what we currently have in the pot for our urbanized area, I think it's a fairly safe bet. I don't want to speak for the Planning Commission Board of Directors, but you would be funded. But in the future, yes, it would, if there were more requests for funds than funds available, the Planning Commission Board of Directors would ultimately make that decision.
But, Cole, you said they do consider things like whether or not you have a safe routes to school plan and how much the proposed project fits in with that plan or the comprehensive plan of the municipality. So there are some criteria along which, evaluative criteria that the Brown County Planning Commission is using to sort of queue up these projects and determine which ones can go forward and which ones maybe can't because they haven't met the basic required.
Correct, yeah.
And can you let us know what those are? What are the criteria?
Well, the state largely allows each urbanized area to set its own criteria. There are some baseline criteria to get you through the pre-application phase, and it has a lot to do with things like the existing administration, previous experience with grants, similar grants, consistency with plans, and things like that. So, again, you're fitting all the loose criteria that exist right now that have been identified by the state. So then it would come down to a decision by the Planning Commission Board of Directors ultimately if there were competing projects.
Okay.
How many different communities are competing at one time on average? I mean, you say we're the only people who are up to bat right now. How many people are on deck?
It varies from cycle to cycle. Each community within an urbanized area, Green Bay, Alloway, De Pere, Schwann, et cetera, including Brown County Highway Department, all these different entities can submit one or more projects. So during this cycle, I think it's because it's a new program or kind of a revamped program, we only received initially two applications, which has now been reduced to one, and that's the LOA application that's made it this far in the process. But in future application cycles, once the communities kind of catch on to what this new program is all about, you may see more and more projects come in from other communities.
But we could modify what we have at this point and say, and as you said earlier, cherry picking, that, okay, there are certain things that we like a lot that might work and other things that we're not so sure of, and we may remove from the project to readdress next year or in the next funding cycle under a different understanding of how it would be approached.
That's correct.
Cole, I think I remember there was talk about another call since there weren't very many projects and then one of them didn't meet the pre-criteria. There was talk about perhaps another RFP or a call for proposals, request for proposals for the program. Did that happen? Did they invite more proposals? And if so, were there any submitted?
Well, we were in kind of an odd situation because what had happened with the application is initially the state DOT had said that it's eligible for funding, and just before one of the later deadlines told us it's actually not eligible. So what the state said is the applicant could go back and change the project to something that would be allowable. But they would have to do that really without any assistance from the state, and would have to do it very quickly to make sure they met the subsequent deadlines. And that applicant wasn't able to do that, so that application didn't proceed.
Right, but then there was some talk about trying to get more proposals in, but that did I misunderstand that? Because this would be a two-step process, and it's basically too late to be asking for more proposals at this point in the game.
Correct. The only situation we were in was with the initial, the other applicant
to try to...
You had a choice of either modifying the application or pulling it.
Yes.
And ultimately decided to pull it.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further from the board? Cole, you're going to get us a little bit of information on the extent to which the proposal can be modified at this stage in the game.
Correct.
Is that correct? Was there anything else that I'm missing?
No.
And if you could get us that information as soon as possible, because I think this is going to have to come up for a vote, a definitive vote, kind of thumbs up or thumbs down at the next board meeting to make the deadline for the planning commission.
Correct. I can assure you we will contact the state either tomorrow or the next day and make sure we try to find that out for you.
Okay.
And should I transmit that to Tracy?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I'll contact Tracy with a response.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Tracy, is that okay?
Sure, it's fine.
All right. Okay, well, thank you all for your comments. We will move on now to item 3C.
Can I have one question? Could Daniel and this gentleman get together in the planning board and let us know why he is so opposed to the planners of the land? Could they get together? Since they're professionals,
sure. Well, they're always welcome to do that.
Can you guys be aware of what that is? Because we're talking about money here.
Yeah, we can, sir. Yep.
Okay.
Item 3C, we will take about a 30-second break for people to funnel out if they choose to do so.
Thank you.
Actually, we're going to take a 2-minute recess. I'll make a motion to take a 2-minute recess. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Dart, seconds loudly. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Oh, we'll come back in 2 minutes.